Welcome back to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the importance of belief and the consequences of believing, write off, and not believing.
Stay tuned.
Is the story of Operation Christmas Child. To some, it may just be a shoebox, but to millions, it is the start of the greatest journey. Traveling the world, sent with prayer. Shoebox gifts fill the hearts of children from over 100 different countries with hope, faith, and love.
Welcome back to another episode of New Every Day. We're so glad that you tuned in. I'm just so thankful for our viewers, Jen. We were meeting with Robbie Ferguson, the producer and editor of this show, who also supports Category 5 TV Network. And he was showing us some of the numbers of the people watching. Like hundreds of thousands of people are tuning in from all over the world. So thank you. I think that's amazing. We have such a great community of people following. So it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So if you have been tuning in regularly and you would like to donate to this production, please go to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N .com. And from there, you can actually search Category 5 TV and you can donate 25 cents per episode or $1 per episode. So that would be $1 a month or $4 a month, whatever you choose. And that's really going to help cover the costs of making this show happen.
Yes.
So I did it. It was super easy. You just fill in your information and away you go. And that will come, it'll come out as $1 a month instead of 25 cents each week.
Yeah. Right.
We're excited about this episode. Christmas is right around the corner.
Yes, right around the corner. And so people start to get excited. In fact, you know, Christmas decorations tend to go up right after Halloween. And there was this big thing on Facebook about, okay, can we just hold off on the Christmas decorations until until Remembrance Day? So let's remember.
Oh, Remembrance Day. Oh, yeah.
First.
Yeah.
And then let's, you know, jump into to Christmas. And as I like look through all my feeds on Facebook, so many people have started Christmasing. Like the decorations have gone up. The Christmas presents are being purchased. And I admit, like, I have one left to get, plus stockings.
It's incredible.
I just, when I go into the store, I'm like, I need to get something for this person. So, and that way it's spread out over time. So it's not one great big lump.
So I have traditionally been a Christmas Eve shopper.
Oh boy.
Oh yes. I know. And then up into the wee hours of the morning, Christmas Eve, to wrap them. But that's how my whole family did it. It was just a thing. I know. It's not good.
I think I started last January.
Oh my gosh.
But the cool thing about Christmas is gift giving, but gift receiving, and the best gift of all is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so, and I, you know, sometimes I wonder what's with all the gift giving and the Christmas saying, the traditions, and when we really want to focus on who Jesus is. And all that other stuff is really good.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't get carried away or all of a sudden, you know, all your money, time, effort goes into making the traditions of Christmas happen than actually pouring into who Jesus Christ is and who he is and why he came.
Yes.
And so if that can be your first focus, then I'm okay with the traditions and, you know, putting things in their proper place. And so for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we'll see how it goes. We're going to actually talk about what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ, because he's the one that came at Christmas. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's Romans 10:9. But the story begins in Luke.
Yeah. And we were just talking quickly about how Christmas and all that happens, at least in North American Christmas, is that there's a distraction with believing in Santa.
Right.
So the focus has been taken off of Jesus and putting our belief in him that he came and he actually was born in a manger, and then all the events around his birth actually happened, and we're focusing on this figure.
Yes.
Who, you know, has a historical basis.
Yes.
In St. Nicholas. But this Santa, I remember as a kid, like, genuinely believing that this guy came into my home. We didn't have a chimney for him to come down, but he came in somehow. And my belief in him was proven by my actions. So I wanted to be a good girl, mm-hmm. because I knew that if I was good, I'd be on the good list and I would get good presents. And I put out milk and cookies, milk for Santa, cookies for him. And I put out a carrot for his reindeer.
So nice.
I did it, genuinely believing that it was real. And then there was reward for my belief in that I got a present saying, from Santa. So I didn't grow up, I wasn't a Christian growing up until I was in my teens. So my parents thought it was great that I believed in Santa. And I remember putting out the carrot for the reindeer, and then my parents would like crush it up and put it outside on the yard as if like the reindeer had chewed it up on the yard. So the belief was reinforced by the things that I saw.
Right.
But initially I had to act on my belief.
Right.
Right?
Right. And I think that's the main point. You acted on your belief. And the story we want to look at today, potentially too, because sometimes our conversation gets sidetracked and you might have to wait till next week to hear the rest of the story. But we want to start with the story of Zechariah. And how, we'll just start. So Luke 1, verse 8. Should we start there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. One day Zechariah was serving as a priest. So this is New Century Version. One day Zechariah was serving as a priest before God because his group was on duty. According to the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. There were a great many people outside praying at the time the incense was offered. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah standing on the right side of the incense table. When he saw the angel, Zechariah was startled and frightened. But the angel said to him, Zechariah, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son, and you will name him John. He will bring you joy and gladness, and many people will be happy because of his birth. John will be a great man for the Lord. He will never drink wine or beer, and even from birth he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will help many people of Israel return to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord in spirit and power like Elijah. He will make peace between parents and their children, and will bring those who are not obeying God back to the right way of thinking, to make a people ready for the coming of the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know that what you say is true? I'm an old man and my wife is old too." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand before God who sent me to talk to you and to tell you this good news. Now listen, you will not be able to speak until the day these things happen because you did not believe what I told you, but they will really happen."
When we were reading through this, so many things jumped out to me about believing. And the first thing, Jen, first I want to highlight that it says earlier that both Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly.
Yes.
So they were serving blamelessly, which is amazing.
Yeah.
They were following the commandments. He was serving in the priesthood. And yet, when an angel appears to him, he's uncertain and doesn't necessarily believe what the angel's saying in the way that he's phrasing it.
How yeah. shall I know all this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. This is New King James Version. And yeah. you can, and yours says?
Mine says, how can I know that what you say is true? I'm an old man, and my wife is true, too. And I love the fact that you pointed out verse 6, that Zechariah and Elizabeth truly did what the Lord said was good. They were righteous, and yet
right.
they're not believing.
Well, yeah, even when the angel comes before them.
An angel.
And I love Gabriel's response, like, I'm Gabriel.
Yeah.
Hello, I am standing before you, and I have stood in the presence of God.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, and what struck me as you said the verse 6 was, why they're righteous people, they're following the commands of God, and yet for some reason they're not believing. And because I'm realizing what has happened in their life that has caused them not to believe, even though they love the Lord and serve him with all of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Something has happened. And I'm wondering if, you know, because he says he's praying. I'm wondering if he had prayed for his wife all his life and just nothing.
And that kind of hardens you a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was still serving.
Yes.
And maybe there are some people in the church even, and you've served God your whole life. And you just, you know what, you just keep getting up on Sunday. You just keep going to church. You just keep reading your Bible. Just keep doing those things.
Yeah.
But also highlights to me that God is not bound by the same sense of time that we have.
Right.
And when we think he's not going to fulfill a promise, he still does because he's faithful.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm agreeing. Like, how many people watching right now have prayed for something and have served God their entire life and are like, okay, Lord, like, where are you? I am faithful to you. So often we can get, as believers, we can say, well, I've loved Jesus, I serve him. Well, then how come he's not answering my prayers? Or how come he allowed this to happen? We can get caught up in the whys, right? Yeah. And like Abraham here, he's like, well, how can I know that what you say is true? It's like he had...
Zechariah.
Did yeah. I say Abraham?
Yeah, I feel like you did. Although Sarah laughed and she didn't believe that she was going to have Isaac.
I know. And it's like, I guess we want to encourage those of you who are watching today to say, hold on to the promise. And if you have been praying, keep serving, keep believing.
Yeah.
Like, keep serving, keep believing that God really does hear your prayers.
Yeah.
And I just love the, like, how Gabriel doesn't turn his back at that point and take away
the promise, because the promise has been given.
Yes.
You know, I just want to share something with you. I haven't even talked to you about this yet, Jen, but you know, it's in my heart that, you know, I genuinely want to one day get married and have a family. I would love that desire is on my heart, and I've always given that to God, and just believing that if that's his will, then that's what will happen. If not, I'm still going to serve him and love him and do whatever he wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was out with some friends, and we were meeting some other women. We were doing like a little Bible study thing in preparation for a conference, which I hope to tell you about in the near future. Anyways, and there were some older ladies there, and they were talking about having kids. And then one of them mentioned, well, you know, best advice is to get married pretty young and have them when you're young. And I laughed and I said, well, that ship sailed. And I laughed. I scoffed in my heart. And everybody laughed, right? Because I laugh about it. And I left the room and I was like, have I closed the door on that?
Mm.
Have I said, okay, God, well, I guess you're not going to do that, so fine. Even though I have faithfully committed that to him.
Right.
But at the same time, in that, the undertone of that comment was unbelief. Instead of saying, if God wants to do that, great, then I'm ready for that. If he doesn't do it, great, I'm ready for that. He can sustain me either way and use right. me for his glory. But in that was a, wow, well, that's not going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
And it was unbelief in my heart.
Yeah.
That God might still do that.
Which is very interesting, because like you said, it was a heart thing at that point. Like, you knew in
your
heart.
It was a heart thing. Even though I was making a joke.
Yeah.
Because I was making light of it.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham. Why do I want to talk about Abraham?
Because same kind of thing, you know?
I know.
People having babies.
But how can I know that what you say is true? Like, the angel has just appeared to him and said, your wife, who is old, is going to have a child. And he's like, It's like, is this a practical joke? Like,
yes.
look at us.
Okay. So speaking of, like, getting glimpses of promises, this is just another sidetrack. When I was a kid, I really wanted a cat. I wanted a cat so bad. Now I'm like, why? Why did I want that? I wanted a cat so bad. So for Christmas one year, my parents gave me a cat carrier and a book on how to take care of cats. And I opened it up. I was like, is this a cruel joke? Like, the things that you're giving me, but no cat? And they laughed, right? Because they knew they were going to take me out the next week to get this cat. But I saw the glimpse of the promise, but it wasn't there. And so I was upset. And
that can be tough, too, the glimpse of the promise. Like, and I wonder, you know, we don't know what Zachariah and Elizabeth's story is. So we don't know if there had been miscarriages or she had just been barren. And so, you know, here, Zachariah, who wouldn't stand there and go, really? How do I know? Like, how do I know that this time it's going to be it?
Yeah.
How do I know? And was it out of maybe a love for his wife, like of wanting to protect her, to say,
being hurt?
Yeah. So it is very interesting. And I almost feel like we should push pause there and wait till next week to talk about the other side of the attitude. So in preparation for next week, you can start reading Luke 1:26-45.
Yeah.
And just start reading that, and you can, I know you're getting a preview of next week. How can this even be? But start thinking about in your own life, have you often felt, or have you felt that you've missed out on a promise, or God is taking a long time to fulfill a promise? Like, where is your belief at? Because it says, because you did not believe what I told you.
Right.
So we encourage you over the next week to just sort of ask the Lord, what am I not believing? Or where have I lost faith? Or what am I struggling with your promises? Mm. And just begin to ask the Lord those things and trust. I trust that he's actually going to start speaking to you. And I believe that through your just being honest with the Lord to say, Lord, I'm struggling with believing your promises, I know he's going to come and meet with you, because he's promised in his word, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you did not know. That's from the book of Jeremiah 33:3, I believe. But it says, call to me.
Yes.
So start asking him about, Lord, what about this?
Yeah. And it's okay to confess that you have difficulty believing something. Yeah. I mean, look at Mark 10, excuse me. And, Mark chapter 10, Jesus is saying that nothing is impossible with God.
Yes.
And there's another story where a man brings his child to Jesus to be healed. And Jesus says, this is possible if you believe, right?
Yeah.
I'm just paraphrasing, sorry. And the man says, I believe, help me with my unbelief.
Yes.
And Jesus still healed his son.
Yeah.
He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will see mountains move, right?
Yes. So let's pray.
Let's pray.
Lord God, you have promised, as Carrie said, that we had the faith of a mustard seed, mountains can move. And so, Father, in the midst of our unbelief, I ask that you would help us to believe. In the midst of our feeling like we have been missing out on the promises of God, or you haven't been coming through, I ask, Lord God, in your name, that you would just break through the doubt and the hurt and the unbelief, and you would help us to believe again. And Lord, as your angel appeared to Zechariah, Lord, that we would believe that you would appear to us and speak to us what you have for us. And so, Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, that you are faithful and you are a promise keeper. I ask that you would help us to believe. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in this week, and we sure hope that you'll join us for another great discussion next week. Until then, have a wonderful day, have a wonderful week, and we will see you back here.
See you back here.
Cheers there, John.
Cheers there, Carrie.